It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
The COB is brought to you by Pepperstone, trusted by traders in over 160 countries. From Barangaroo Studios, here's what you need to know about the day in business and finance.
Welcome to the COB. Great to have you along with us on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Nadine Blaney.
And I'm Juliette Sarli. And of course, a pretty flat finish on the market. Let's see where the CBOE 200 is. We started out pretty well today, but then we sort of started to see a bit of a wobble around lunchtime. Well, lunchtime had a bit of a spike, but looking like some sellers in the afternoon trade, and we've closed virtually unchanged there on the CBOE 200.
I think that's what you call lackluster after being pretty hot out of the gates there. The S&P ASX 200, the last of the day's trades are still going through, but a similar picture being painted there. We'll get some analysis in just a tick with Mark Gardner from MPC Markets. So yeah, pretty flat. It feels like there's a little bit of tension right now between the bulls and the bears.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at some of the thematics of the miners and utility stocks, I guess, kind of dragging one way and the other going the other way, it was sort of one of those sort of ho-hum type days in the end.
We'll find out why, potentially, or sometimes there's no really good reason. Perpetual shares absolutely getting hammered on this deal that they've done with KKR. I think we'll get to it in some of our corporate stories.
Yeah, $2.2 billion.
Yeah, it's a big deal, but keep in mind that Perpetual rejected an offer significantly higher from Regal I think it's a couple years ago now. So one to watch.
And Uber driving US earnings. We've got a lot of earnings coming through tonight, and it's kind of a lot on the gig economy too. Uber, you've got Airbnb, you've got Bumble, the dating website, quite a few coming through. And of course, we had the big one, Apple, overnight as well.
Yeah. And look, I had a chat just a few moments ago with Billy Young, who's joining me from Global X ETFs, just talking about the Mag 7 and just them still being on that, you know, that edge of innovation. And he was just pointing out that even though they're giving dividends, even though they're, you know, doing share buybacks, it's just proof that they've matured as companies. And just as a little aside, he reckons that Tesla does belong to be in the Mag 7. That'll be up online shortly if you'd like to have a listen.
All right, let's have a look at the sectors. Kicking it off with the industrials today and having a look at where the likes of Brambles and Transurban were. All looking pretty good. Worley there up by 1.5%.
Yeah, well, can we flip to the miners? Because I think that this is where a little bit of the weakness crept in with some of those big plays. You know that Rio Tinto, BHP have such a bearing on, you know, the market overall. BHP just off marginally, but Rio Tinto down by 1%. But Rio has actually crept up toward all-time highs, like not quite there, but near so. So on the call today, we did have a chat about Rio Tinto. If you'd like to catch up with that, it's up online, ausbiz.com.au. And if podcasts are your thing, you can also listen to the call in podcast form. Just a little reminder.
All right, let's also have a quick look at some of the tech players. Looking quite good. NextDC up by about 2%. And we'll very quickly flip that over to some of the top corporate stories as well.
Yeah, Life360 does report on Friday. And so just to sum it up, 8 out of the 11 sectors were higher today. Industrial is the best performing. But there you go. We've had a lot of information coming at us from a lot of these companies, including Flight Center, which I was just double checking on its share price. It's one of the, it was up by 1.9%. So we got an update coming from Flight Center. It is looking at its guidance being confirmed. Profit before tax between $300 million and $340 million this financial year.
To the downside, though, we also heard from Goodman Group. Even though it upgraded its earnings per share growth guidance to 13%, shares down slightly by 0.2%. A lot of these updates as well coming from the Macquarie Conference here in Sydney.
Yeah, that's why I was stumbling over Flight Centre, because I was trying to check if that was coming from the conference as well.
Yeah.
Did it? Okay, yeah. Nine Entertainment at the conference as well. Really interesting to see the share price reaction, because talking about a lot of pressure in terms of the ad market, in terms of the TV business, but it is looking to cut costs, and it's actually reaffirmed some audience numbers, you know, from the likes of Stan, for example.
And also looking at Domain, I think something like a 20%, near 20% jump in revenue in the March quarter, expecting EBITDA margin expansion for fiscal 24. But the market selling Domain off today, what did James Gerrish call it? The poor cousin.
Poor cousin
REA.
Of REA, yeah. Sometimes those things just really stick out in your mind, don't they? And James Gerrish's interview is up online as well. He gives, you know, a verdict on a lot of those companies that we just mentioned there, if you're interested.
Welcome to the COB, Mark Gardner from MPC.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Hello. I've
been sitting there the whole time. You're that interested in
or is it the market?
No, just more the market generally today. So
What happened?
Nothing is pretty much the answer to that. Obviously, Macquarie Conference today, I think Aussie Broadband was there as well, ProMedicus. Most of them are largely flat, or they just confirmed their guidance. ProMedicus was super bullish.
It was up early, but short of bringing a marching band in,
they couldn't have, improve on. There was so many positive words in there. So much so that I was almost suspicious, because it's like the share price is up 100% in the last 12 months.
Do you have to lay it on?
Chill out, guys. Outstanding from them as per usual. And I think Goodman's as well. I think Paladin was there today. But look, Paladin and Goodman's have been on a tear. I mean, Paladin's up over 25% in the last five or six trading sessions. So I think a pullback there, no matter what they said today, was probably fairly due. Obviously, we had that fairly sleepy lead from the US as well. I think Shopify is another one that's got earnings out tonight, but I think we've got some Fed speakers later in the week. But yeah, I mean, we're just having a bit of a breather after, and I think it's pretty positive that we held on to the gains from yesterday. That was a pretty good rally yesterday, particularly in the last half an hour. It was a little bit surprising the extent of it, but I think it's pretty positive that we've held on to those gains.
Was that based on the RBA governor's press conference?
Based on the timing, particularly straight after your question.
Oh, look, I've lifted the market. Thank me, everyone.
From what I saw, balanced is balanced. As much as Jono's really tried to weave in either side,
she was pretty stern.
And then I think everyone just walked away and wrote what they were going to write, regardless, no matter what she said. So she was pretty firm about balanced means balanced. They're data dependent, which is, I guess, doesn't really get any clicks or sell newspapers, but. I think the Fed's roughly the same, really. They will act if need be, which means they probably just won't have to rush to rate cuts.
Yeah, okay. So does that change anything of what you think about where you're putting your money or what shares to invest in for the remainder of the year?
I don't think so, no, really. I think it probably, because we've got analysts very deeply in either camp, we probably are sitting roughly around about the middle. The more stability, the better, I suppose. We'll just see how a few of these updates come. I think we've got another day of the Macquarie Conference tomorrow. I'm not quite sure who's out there, but it's fairly steady as she goes, I think, probably for the rest of the week, realistically.
So we'll just all go home now.
No, I'm kidding.
One company that was updating today was ABB. I think you've liked this one in the past.
Yeah.
Share price reaction's negative, even though they're adding customers. Both of my guests on the call today had that as a buy on the day. What do you think of ABB?
I certainly like it at these prices. It's the cheapest it's been in a long time. I believe, it's like as an alternative to Telstra that they were talking about on the call. I thoroughly agree with that, absolutely. We're just essentially waiting for a few more of the long-term technicals to start to turn around on ABB, because it can deliver good news at the moment and still get hit. So seems to be a little bit of negative sentiment around it. So we're just happy to sit on our hands and wait for a little bit.
I wanted to ask you, because this time next week we will have received the budget and you'll be our guest again and we'll be dissecting all of that. You know, what do you think is going to be the stocks that move? It's really going to be some of those defence players, right?
The defence players, I think so. And look, we've had decent moves in the likes of DroneShield, EOS. Austal's now been taken over. A lot of the defence spending has been flagged for the nuclear submarines, a long-range missile, which extends our long-range missile range is only 30 kilometres at the moment.
What?
So it's not really long-range, is it? So... So yeah, so but that'll extend out to 500 kilometres. But yeah, and then they're upgrading some of the naval, some of the bases and things like that. So obviously, other key. I mean, if you're walking around Sydney City today, every billboard's smacked with tax cuts, tax cuts. So the government's certainly milking that for for their own advertising agenda. But really, it doesn't even cover the bracket creep. I think there's going to be some help with energy bills and things like that, but fairly cheap wins that really are only making catch up to the increased cost of living, to be honest. So yeah, there's nothing major. Usually everything's largely leaked before the budget. It's sort of, I think that's a way of the parties polling it to see before it comes out. Gone are the days where
they used to
reopen the trading floor at 7 o'clock at night in the old futures days in the 90s. So, which was fairly entertaining. A few guys had probably gone to the pub between.
I've heard some great stories about the journos all being in lockup.
Yeah. So I don't expect too many surprises, but I mean, Drone Shield has bounced off that cap raise price around about 80 cents quite strongly now. It's one of our favorite
cyber periods. Like, are there any Prophecy Group? I take it you watched the call because you knew what the stock of the day was. Prophecy International was listed as a buy today. It does cyber. You might not know it. I don't know.
So
would you be looking for sort of some of those companies that might have cyber exposure?
Yeah,
well?
Absolutely. I mean, I think cyber across the board is going to be a thematic that's just going to be an increasing spend. Like data breaches and things like that are obviously huge for a lot of companies. And we're all being held to a higher standard these days. I think there's the eight point government guidelines that you're supposed to adhere
to
now.
From the cybersecurity.
It's certainly going to be a growing industry over time, but obviously AI is stealing all the headlines. You probably don't get to see, but Palo Alto's has done quite well in the US in recent time as well. So
it'll be interesting now that you bring up the US and the fact that we have still some of those sort of technology related stocks reporting, but at the end, like, the laggards are always the big retailers, and we haven't had them yet. So the Home Depots and the Lowe's and all that of the world. It'd be really interesting to see how the US consumer is traveling in their view and the outlook from some of those US retailers.
They kind of seem to be still spending, really. But some of those have got incredible economies of scale as well. They might actually be benefiting from the fact that consumers tightening their belt potentially go to the likes of Costco and things,
Walmart,
Walmart, etc. So, I think Nvidia's the 25th or something like that. So, I think Arm Technologies is tonight maybe as well. So, this is one of the emerging sort of semiconductor AI chips as well. So, we've been fairly busy for a good month now. So, I don't think it's abnormal for the market to take a little bit of a breather and take stock in what's going on. So we might see some movement out of some of the
You are correct. Arm reports tonight. Robinhood as well. Airbnb,
Toyota.
AMC, Toyota, and
Beyond Meat for the vegans. Just one quick question. I had a quick vegan moment during COVID. Got over that quickly, like making sourdough. Just in terms of what Michelle Bullock was saying yesterday, do you think she's kind of wanting the government to do a lot of the heavy lifting, I guess, within the budget, or not trying to stymie too much growth?
Yeah, look, I mean, like I said, the tax cuts, really, if you have a look at it on balance, they're not even keeping up bracket creep with the inflation rate. So I wouldn't necessarily call them stimulatory. And defence spending and upgrading, that's not necessarily too stimulatory either. So overall, there is a little bit of spending, but it would be good to see them, be a little bit more restrictive. I think they have been a little bit more targeted, like aiming at HECS and students and things like that, because cost of living's really hammered those, that demographic particularly, because youth allowance hasn't gone up in years, and essentially you can't rent in a capital city on youth allowance anywhere near. You can't even rent a room or a cupboard, just about. So they're all of it's really just catch up. I don't see any of that spending being inflationary. So there's no massive infrastructure spends and things like that. So realistically, I think it's it's not too bad. It's not like the US where in an election year, I mean, their debt is absolutely spiraling. To be honest, it looks like, you know, the makings of a potential, the next black swan, the way this US debt's spiraling at the moment. Mm. Particularly in an election year, they don't have a new president till the end of the year. So there's no way there's going to be tax hikes to increase tax receipts. And there will probably be loads of promises on spending. So. And, you know, they love, it's defence spending always gets increased. I think it's 3.5% for the US. So it dwarfs us at 2.5%. Mm. And we were above most of the NATO nations as well. So, the US debt's like rumbling along. It's an extra trillion every 100 days. It took 200 odd years to get to the first trillion.
Yeah, so, this is your sort of focal point for research. It's your bugbear right now, isn't it?
It's scary. I didn't, but more so that I hadn't looked at it in great depth for probably 12 months or so. And how much it's spiraled in the last 12 months is just, it's just eye-opening. So, you know, it's a known, you know, gold bear that has kind of turned me around a little bit because realistically, you know, there's no other reserve, no one else is going to be the reserve currency. Mm. And those cryptocurrencies and things will be more correlated to the NASDAQ initially. So, yeah, it's probably going to be one of the only options.
Yeah. Well, silver too, I know you like. But listen, we'll just have to leave it there. And just to, I like closing loops.
Yes.
Toyota posted a 78% surge in Q4 operating profit. So,
oh, wow.
There you go, to end this Asian session. Nice to do it with you, Mark Gardner, MPC Markets, as always. Another little loop that we will close right now, Juliet.
The stock of the day. We did talk about that. Aussie Broadband, Joshua Barker from RiverX, and Chris McDonald from Morgan shared their take with Nadine.
Takeover, but basically they accumulated shares, put in a takeover offer at a higher price, and then were forced to sell at that higher price, and, you know, I guess accidentally made $13 million profit on that trade. So whilst it's a bit of frustrating that they weren't able to acquire that asset, a bit of a silver lining there for an investment into the shares anyway. So yeah, like I said, they're in an upgrade guidance. They've reaffirmed that. We like companies in an upgraded guidance. We've been accumulating it over the last week or so, and would be happy to continue to accumulate it.
In the naughty corner for the way they butchered that attempted takeover of Superloop, but you've got to give them a little bit of a pass, Mark. They've got a great track record. Two pieces I like about this business: the backdrop, first of all, they're gaining market share, which is important to note. They're probably a bit of a beneficiary from Optus and their trials and tribulations in the last few years, and the excessive pricing, you could argue, with Telstra as well. But maintaining an upgraded guidance is what we want to see, and customer satisfaction, they continue to win those awards, so retention will be high as well.
Yes. Around about there, past four here in Sydney. So let's timestamp it and get to some of these market leaders and laggards.
Yeah, starting with the leaders. Chalice Mining, have a nice day, up 12%. Pinnacle Investment, Lifestyle Communities, Liontown Resources up more than 3%, and Prometic, as we touched on with Mark, up by 3%.
All right, let's get to some of those laggards. Perpetual, we know why, down by 7%. Domain, obviously not liking the update coming from Domain. Down by 4%, and you can see their Paladin updating at the Macquarie conference as well. Spark New Zealand, second day of selling there, and IPH is off by 2.2%.
In the small end of town, Close the Loop up by an impressive 13%. Also Chalice, of course, there, and Raiden Resources. Taraco Gold had a good day, and AV Jennings up by some 8%.
But there's always the downers, isn't there? ArtCore, so you used to know that as Redbubble, down by 12%. Oh. Yep, Vinyl off by 6.6. That's that online marketplace for not just records, vinyl records, but also right sharing for artists as well. So I haven't seen if there's an update coming from them, but we'll check that one out.
I think we had a guest the other week saying that's basically the Tinder for music. That's top. Let's have a look at what's happening overnight. We mentioned a lot of big earnings coming through, the likes of Uber, Airbnb, Fox, Bumble, AMC. We just heard from Tokyo in Japan as well. We've also got some mortgage application data and 30-year bond auction in the UK, along with US crude oil inventories, which will give us a bit of a, I guess, indication of the supply-demand picture at the moment, particularly as we're focused so much on what's occurring in the Middle East.
Okay, so just thinking about the FOMC, because we always have speakers coming there. FOMC's Cook is expected to speak on the Fed's financial stability report. Here tomorrow, obviously today, or this week, I should say, locally, the RBA pulled a lot of focus, but we will get some data coming from China, and we will get some further earnings here locally, as well as those updates, no doubt, coming from the conference.
Domain's rich cousin, REA, and also CBA, Quarterly, News Corp, Orica, and we've also got Light and Wonder there.
Yeah, Light and Wonder. So here's something. The Investment Committee, the new episode is up on the website. Aristocrat, I can give it away. Some of it away now. Aristocrat was added to the portfolio, but Ben Clark, as you know, is part of the investment committee from TMS Capital. And yeah, we had a little bit of a chat. He still likes Light and Wonder as well. So if you'd like to check out that latest episode, it's up online. You just have to search the series, and we'll make sure that it's in the editor's pick section of the website as well for you to watch tonight.
I'll tell the person that's in charge of that.
I can help.
All right, let's have a look at where the market finished today. Pretty flat, as we mentioned. 1,496 there on the CBOE 200.
Yeah, the S&P ASX 200 holding above that 7,800 level. So I think Mark Gardner was saying that's pretty positive. Week to date, up by 2.3%. Of course, two more sessions to go. We'll see what happens. But if I look to E-minis in the US right now, a little bit underwater. We've got the S&P 500 and NASDAQ E-minis just mildly negative, but we sort of foreshadowed the fact that we'd have a lot of earnings to digest there. Looks like a little quieter on the front with the Fed speakers. So yeah, here's hoping.
Exactly. All right, we'll be back tomorrow to wrap it all up for you and bring you the day ahead from 9:40 Eastern.
Good night.
The COB is brought to you by Pepperstone, trusted by traders in over 160 countries.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.